cross and you bear the scars. You're my bright and shining star. You gave me sight that I might see the kind of man that I should be. You came to die to set me free, Almighty God. Sing it with me. You're my joy, you're my peace, you're my comfort in time of need, and you're my refuge, you're my rock, you're the one I depend on. You're the road to hope when the light grows dim, when the waves of doubt come crashing in. You're my anchor in the troubled storm, Almighty God. You bore the cross and you bear the scars. You're my bright and shining star. You gave me sight that I might see the kind of man that I should be, and to die to set me free, Almighty God.
Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's right. Thank the Lord. Well, I would like to say a special thank you once again to, of course, Brother Christie, Sister Rose. We appreciate them, their ministry here, their faithfulness to the Lord. I know they've been through some rough battles and hard blows. And like Lynn mentioned, that devil don't give up. He don't give up. It'll be a fight to the finish. It'll be a fight to the finish. But I appreciate them, their friendship. They're dear friends of ours. We appreciate them so very much. And still holding up the bloodstained banner. Amen. We appreciate Brother Junior, Sister Linda, Sister Ginger opening up their home, allowing us to stay with them and sharing with us their goods and their home. We appreciate their friendship. They're just like family, like all of God's people. We're all the family of God, aren't we? Amen. We say again, we appreciate God's people. I just feel an added strength tonight in this service. I really do. I feel an added strength by you being here. I mean, didn't Paul take courage when he saw the brethren? It encouraged him. Amen. It added strength and encouragement to his heart. And that's the way we feel about God's people. It's just, we need one another. We need, somebody said, friends are worth more than money. And that's so true. Especially God's people and friends that we have in the Lord. We appreciate that. Appreciate you so very much. I want to read tonight Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Amen. I announced last night the chapter and the verse, but I didn't give the book. So my wife spoke up and said, what book? We was in the fifth chapter last night. I said, well, we're in the fifth chapter of something. So, amen. Praise God. So we'll get in the right book here tonight and the right chapter. Amen. And somebody said, I'll be reading out the King James Version. Praise God. Well, we'll read out the right Bible, too. Some folks need to get the right Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 6, verse 33. Yeah. This is, again, from that great sermon on the Mount. I just felt the Lord deal with me a while back. And I won't take up a lot of time here with preliminaries, Lord willing, but sometimes we get in circumstances and we get to trying to figure things out for ourselves, and just without, like I say, going into a lot of detail here tonight, I'd actually considered taking a church, and it went down and preached for them. I'd met with the deacons and the whole nine yards, but I left out of there that night, and the Lord let me know, Brother Finley, this is not where I need to be. This is not the place I need to be. And I may have mentioned that already here in this meeting, that some of you wasn't here. But anyway, I want to be in the will of God. But I felt the Lord deal with me just to focus in a little more specifically on this great Sermon on the Mount. You know, Brother Johnny, sometimes we say, man, that was a masterpiece. And, you know, maybe we've heard some, very few probably, you know, for most of us. But this, without a doubt, was a masterpiece. This was, because it come from the Master himself. Amen. Matthew 5 through 7. And when he finished that sermon, the Bible said, he spake as one having authority and not as the scribes. Amen. They felt, they sensed the power in these words. Amen. And once again, just a little portion, the 33rd verse of the 6th chapter, this great Sermon on the Mount, the words of Christ. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Now, we need your prayers tonight, your help. We desire to be a help to you and be a blessing to the people of God. We're going to ask our good pastor, if he would, lead us in prayer. And everyone just pray with us. Well, I want to use a thought tonight. The Christian's top priority. The Christian's top priority. Now, of course, this setting of Scripture, Jesus was exhorting us and really rebuking us against having unlawful care. I was searching for the right word there, but he was rebuking us for our worry, as we say it. Amen. Take no thought for tomorrow. Amen. He, of course, exhorted in this passage of Scripture about the lilies and the birds and how that God takes care of them and clothes them and feeds them. And, of course, we here in this day that we're in, looks like we've got so many conveniences, and we've got so many luxuries, unlike any other generation of people has ever had. As one preacher said, we've got more luxuries than ancient kings. I mean, we enjoy more good things and nice things in life than royalty did in days gone by. But yet at the same time, we've got more conveniences and all of these nice things in life, but yet at the same time, we find ourselves under such stress and such pressure from life, and we feel ourselves being anxious over the concerns just of putting bread on the table sometime and making ends meet, and just the pressures of everyday life. It brings a great stress and a great strain, and I understand that. And, of course, Christ did. As I mentioned, maybe the first night of this meeting, the Bible said Christ beholding the multitudes in that first verse as he began this great Sermon on the Mount. He saw the needs. He saw the concerns, the pressures, the cares, the hurts. I mean, he saw that multitude, and every word he spoke was to address a specific need among that crowd. And everything he said was for a purpose. And here tonight in this 33rd verse, we find ourselves, if we're not careful, getting our priorities out of order. And very easy to do that. I mean, caught up in the pressures of life and caught up in the stress and the strain of just everyday routines, we can find ourselves with misplaced priorities. We can make, instead of it being the main thing, even we make minor things the main thing. And instead of eternal things being top priority, and the things of the kingdom being of utmost importance to us, we get misplaced and misdirected desires and ambitions. One writer said, no life is complete that does not feel upon it some great compulsion driving it. A man that is a real man has something that drives, something that creates enthusiasm. There is something that ought to drive you, making every nerve tingle and throb and every artery flow with force. What is it? What is it? For some tonight, it would be fishing, humming. Amen. Oh, don't get quiet on me now. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you tonight if I can. Amen. What is it? What is it that motivates us? Somebody said, really, the index of a person is a person's thoughts. What does he think about? Amen. What's his first thought on? Amen. What's his frequent thoughts on? What's the last thought when he lays his head on his pillow at night? Is it making money? Is it pleasure? Is it entertainments? What is it? Amen. What is it? Amen, that motivates us, that drives us. What is the motivating, driving force of our life? Well, it should be the kingdom of God. Amen, that ought to be the kingdom of God. Amen, the great temptation that we have before us. You know, the scripture tells us that Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. I mean, as he began his earthly ministry, or even before he began his earthly ministry, led of the Spirit, amen, he didn't take a wrong turn in the road. He didn't get lost out on the highway of life. But being led by the Spirit of God, he went out into that wilderness. And who should he meet out there in that wilderness? Amen. He met the same foe that you and I as the children of God are contending with tonight. He met the devil himself. Amen. He was tempted physically. He was tempted spiritually. And he was tempted vocationally. Amen. And the last round of temptation, according to Matthew's gospel, the Bible said that that devil took Christ up into an exceeding high mountain. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Amen. Yeah. I'm talking about the Christian's top priority. It ought to be to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But He showed him, just like He's still showing you and I today, the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. The glamour, the glitter, the sparkle, amen, the appeal, amen, of the kingdoms of this world. What's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Amen. And the devil said to Christ, if you'll just fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. One writer said, Brother Johnny, amen, that he showed Christ, amen, oh, if you'll just fall down and worship me, I'm telling you, you'll be the next king of Rome. You'll be the next Caesar of Rome. I'm telling you, if you'll just fall down and worship me, there'll be no lonely, dark Gethsemane. There'll be no cruel cross, amen, and a crown of thorns for you to wear. I'm telling you, if you'll just fall down and worship me, those Jews will recognize you as the King of Israel. Amen. Yes, sir. Oh, but he didn't bow down. Amen. No, sir. He didn't bow down to the king of this world. You know, that's what the Bible calls the devil. He's the prince of this world. Amen. He's got a kingdom. It's a kingdom of darkness. Amen. It's a kingdom of sin. It's a kingdom of evil. I tell you, we look around us and we can tell we're on enemy territory tonight. Ah, but I come tonight to seek that kingdom, amen, which is not of this world. I said I come here tonight, amen, representing a kingdom greater than any kingdom that's ever existed upon planet Earth. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of righteousness. It's the kingdom of the great King Himself. I'm here, glory to God. I said I'm here representing a kingdom greater than myself. Oh, hallelujah. That's inspiring to me to ride down the road and see the billboard sign, you know, representing those Marines. That fine-looking young man got his dress blues on, got his hat on. Amen. Very smartly looking. Amen. And the caption is, committed or a commitment to something greater than themselves. That's the Marines. That's the motto of the Marines. And I tell you, that ought to represent the children of God. That ought to represent those that are a part of this kingdom. I'm committed to something greater than myself. It's the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, sir. Amen. And I'm telling you, that enemy, he tempted Christ just like he tempts all of us. Amen. He tempts us to try to get us out of this kingdom, to become a part of his kingdom. But Jesus gave us an example. I mean, you just look at his life and you see where his priorities were. At the tender age of 12 years old, they found him in the temple. Amen. Oh, didn't you know we were looking for you, son? Where you been? Why'd you do this? Oh, but I tell you, never did anything you had to apologize for. Never did one thing. Never acted one way. Had to go back and say, I acted wrong. I mistreated you. Amen. But right in the perfect will of the Father, he said, wished you not. I must be about my Father's business. Holy to God. There's a kingdom, not of world I'm a part of. I'm here to represent. And it's top priority. At the tender age of 12 years old, he let it be known where his priorities lay. Amen. It's in doing the will of my Father. Amen. I mean, when he began his earthly ministry, the very first words out of his lips, according to Matthew's gospel again, here he was, he set the trumpet to his lips, and he has announced an alarm, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's he saying? He's saying all mankind, all humanity is on a downward path that they must turn from. Amen. They're a part of a kingdom of darkness. But I come to shine the light in the midst of that darkness. Oh, yes, sir. They're a part of a kingdom of evil and of hatred and of murder. But I come with a kingdom of righteousness and of light and of love and of peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And man must turn. Amen. You come out of the darkness. Amen. Walk away from the bondage. Walk away, amen, from the degradation. Walk away from the evil. Amen. Turn from your wicked ways. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, yeah. This great king taught us to pray after this manner. I'm preaching the Christian's top priority. The Christian's top priority. I'm afraid a lot of folks have got their priorities out of order. You know, people really do what they want to do. They go where they want to go. Amen. They spend their time doing what they want to do. Amen. Yes, sir.
I mean, we made mention the other night, when it's picnic time, when the chicken's laid out on the table and the pies and the cakes and the watermelon and the ice cream and it's time to play games. Oh, man, we're here with bells on. There's a preacher friend of mine. He said he went to prayer meeting, Brother Finley, on Wednesday night. Said just a handful of little people. That pastor got up and preached. Amen. Everybody about fell asleep on him. But he said the next night, they're having a going away party. Amen. Said he pulled in the parking lot. He said, man, jam packed. Couldn't hardly get in. They're having hot dogs and hamburgers and ice cream and cake. Amen. And fun and game. Man, we're here. Oh, yes, sir. We're here. I enjoy all of that just like we all do. Praise God. I like the ice cream and the cake, amen, and all the rest of it. But I'm telling you what, amen, ought to motivate me, ought to be the driving influence, the motivating force of my life, ought to be the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. I'm starting to feel like preaching around here tonight. Amen. He taught us to pray after this manner. Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. I mean, He's given us the outline of prayer. Amen. Sometime I know we find ourselves not knowing how to pray, but I go back to the outline. Amen. I look back over the outline. I was going over that with my son here, you know, maybe a good while back now. We was in prayer. Amen. And he's just confessing, just honest. He's a fine young man. He's a praying young man. But I just begin to go over that outline with him, Brother Finley. Amen. I said, well, let's just, amen, look at how Christ taught us to pray. Amen. Just start it out. Thy kingdom come. I know, amen, the ultimate fulfillment of that will be when the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And it doesn't look like that's too very far in the distant future. Glory to God. I'm telling you, He's coming. I said He's coming. Amen. All the kingdoms of this world. Daniel saw that stone hewn out of the mountain. It come rolling down. It destroyed all the other kingdoms. The last prayer in the Bible. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank God for that part of it. Amen. We're looking forward to that. That day when there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears for those that are part of the kingdom of God, that is. No more heartache. No more devil to fight. Amen. No, sir. No more lonely nights of pleading prayer. Amen. The old song said, we'll bid farewell, sweet hour of prayer. We'll bid farewell. But until then, amen, Brother Sonny, our prayer is thy kingdom come. And in praying that, I'm talking about the Christian's top priority tonight. Amen. In praying for his kingdom to come, what am I praying? Amen. What did Jesus do when he announced his kingdom? I mean, here in this great Sermon on the Mount, he laid down the laws of the kingdom, if you will. But and then when he finished that sermon, amen, he started enforcing and enacting, amen, the administration of his kingdom. What did he do? He went about healing the sick, casting out devils, amen, tearing down the devil's playhouse. Yes, sir. Cleansing the leper, raising the dead, saving lost souls, rescuing men from the gutters of sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. And if I pray for his kingdom to come, I'm praying, God save the lost. God restore the backslider. God revive the church. It ain't your will for hell to have a heyday and God's people, amen, to be unconcerned and indifferent, amen, and asleep toward the things of God. I'm telling you, it's time for God's people, amen, to get their priorities back in order. Y'all settle down out there now. Well, I can preach to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm feeling like preaching a little while tonight.
Amen. The Christian's top priority. Amen. When a ball game is my top priority, how many knows I got my priorities out of line? Amen. When hunting and fishing is my top priority, how many knows I got my priorities out of line? Yes, sir, we got to make a living. Amen. Got to put bread on the table. Got to keep a roof over our head and clothes on our back and shoes on our feet. Oh, but if making money is my top priority, how many knows I got my priorities out of line? Amen. Got them out of line. Jesus gave us the example. The King Himself, amen, showed us what our priorities ought to be. I mean, we find Him, the Bible said, I like the way the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, and Luke says He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. It's Mark that says it a little bit different. I don't believe any contradiction, but just bringing out a different aspect. The Bible said immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Amen. There's something driving him. There's something that motivates him. It's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. It's like fire shut up in my bones. Yes, sir. There's something that makes me tick. There's something, amen, that excites me. It enthuses me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's what I live for. It's what I eat and drink and sleep. Thank God to do the will of Him that sent me. Oh, they found Him there after the conversion of that woman at the well. Amen. Oh, they wanted to offer Him meat. He said, I've got meat to eat that you know not of. He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Amen. He said, that's what I live for. That's the priority. That's the motivating influence of my life. Glory to God. Lord, help us tonight. Help us tonight, Holy Ghost. In our text tonight, Christ said, this ought to be our top priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then it bothers me to see the saints of God depressed, and discouraged, cast down. Amen. I like to see the kingdom come. Amen. And the driving out of evil forces. I know there's not a... I've even made the statement. I said, well, I don't think it's much reality to it. The man sung the song, the devil's in the phone booth, dialing 911. I know, Brother Junior, there's not much reality to that. But I do believe there's services sometime he gets a little nervous. Glory to God. Thank God. There's some moves of God. Amen. When the children of God begin to get their priorities in order. Amen. They begin to set their affection on things above. They begin to mind eternal things. Hallelujah. They begin seeking the Lord with all of their heart and diligently seeking God. Amen. And heaven comes down and drives back the forces of darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe there's a few times he's over there in the phone booth dialing 911. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the Christian's top priority. Amen. Seek implies being continually absorbent in a search for something, or making a strenuous and diligent effort to obtain something. Amen. To seek. Seek. We got folks, they know more about everything else than they know about the Bible. Amen. They can tell you who won the Super Bowl, the name of all the players, and amen. They can tell you what lure to use, what kind of bait you need. They know just how to get it done, get that big buck. And I mean, I'm not faulting any of that. I'm just using that. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, I'd be condemning my whole church down where we from, Brother Johnny. It's hunting and fishing. Yes, sir. Amen. But they come to church. They faithful to the house of God. They love God. Somebody got a need. Amen. They surround them. Hallelujah. They gather around the people and they pray. Amen. I believe they got the priorities in line. Our good pastor, he's a hunter. He's a fisherman. He's an outdoorsman. But he's a man of God. Amen. I believe he's got his priorities. He loves God. I believe he seeks the kingdom of God first. Amen. The kingdom of God, that's to have the rule and the power of God demonstrated in our lives and in our assemblies. Seek that above everything. That ought to be our top priority. Amen. I missed him somewhere. That certain man that Christ told about, he had his priorities out of order. You remember? He was more interested in his barns and his crops and in building bigger barns, even in laying up much goods for many years so he could take his ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This little poem that was given to me by a dear sainted man of God, Reverend Harvey Johnson, from Dry Fork, Virginia. He was a prince of a man. Oh, he loved God. In his 90s, he died back last year. Still had several nursing home ministries. I mean, a man you'd think ought to be in a nursing home himself. He stayed active in a nursing home ministry. Amen. Loved God. Worked for God. Always passing out tracts, Sister Linda. Amen. Always, amen, trying to tell somebody. Always interested in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. He wasn't too interested in the things of this world. He wasn't interested in houses and lands and barns and fields. Amen. And hunting and fishing and, amen, and buying and selling and planting and building. He was more interested in eternal things. The things of heaven and the things of God and the things that will bless me and that will save and heal and deliver me and from the bondage of hell. He gave me this poem. He said, I looked upon a farm one day that once I used to own. The barn had fallen to the ground. The fields were overgrown. The house in which my children grew, where we had lived for years, I turned to see it broken down and brushed aside the tears. I looked upon my soul one day to find it too had grown with thorns and nettles everywhere. The seeds neglect had sown. The years had passed while I had cared for things of lesser worth. The things of heaven I let go while minding things of earth. To Christ I turned with bitter tears and cried, "Oh Lord, forgive. I haven't much time left for Thee, not many years to live. The wasted years forever gone, the days I can't recall. If I could live those days again, I'd make Him Lord of all." Amen. If I could just call it back. Amen. I'd make it my top priority to seek His kingdom first and foremost, to be a part of that kingdom, to have a place in that kingdom. Amen. For time and for eternity, that ought to be, amen, our most absorbing interest. That ought to be, amen, our most fervent desire, amen, to have a place in that kingdom for time and for eternity. That ought to be the Christian's top priority. Our God, would somebody help me give Him a little praise around here tonight? David Livingston, the last day of his life, he wrote in his diary, "My Jesus, my King, my life, my all, I again dedicate my whole self to Thee." That's a man, oh, that was was interested in the kingdom. Thank God, went to the dark regions of the doomed and the damned with the glorious light of this glorious gospel to shine into the darkened hearts and lives of men and women perishing without Christ. Oh, he had his priorities in order. God, challenge us tonight. Stir us tonight. This has always been a challenge in Scripture to me. I've tried to make it a motto of my life, of my ministry. You know, we've got preachers. I don't mean to be critical of anybody, but it's just the God's honest truth. We've got preachers that they hunt, they fish. They're businessmen. They do this and do that. And they preach. Yeah, they preach too. It's just like another sideline. Just like another one of their hobbies. Another one of their pastimes. But they're businessmen. Amen. They know how to make a dollar. Amen. They other things. I mean, I'm just using that. And I know that to be a fact in some people's lives. I've got a good preacher friend of mine. He told his son, that's also a young preacher. He said back when he was, you know, his children were small. He had to work a job, pastoring a little church. I mean, you know, had to provide for his family. We've got to do those things. And he told his son, he said, I only have 30 minutes a day to spend in prayer and reading and studying the Bible. But he said, I purpose to give that 30 minutes a day to give my best, to make it my best time. That's all he had in the struggle to put bread on the table and provide for his family and pastoring a church and all the activities and the duties that he was involved in. Oh, and I read of that early church. I read of those disciples there in Acts 6. I know they were having trouble in the church. Amen. They were having division in the church. Amen. But those 12 apostles, amen, they called, amen, a meeting, and they said, it's not reason that we should leave the Word of God to serve tables. And that verse that's been such a challenge to me, they said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, my brother, this is not a pastime. This is not a hobby. Amen. This is a life. This is my life. My God, I want to give myself. Oh, God, help me. Amen. To apply myself. To study the book. To spend time in an altar of prayer. But when I come, my God, I'd have something. Amen. I've heard from heaven. I've got tidings from another world. Glory to God. That's the only thing going to make impact. Amen. Upon man's life. I've heard from heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about a top priority tonight. David Brainerd, that great missionary to the American Indians, he made that statement. Has made such a vivid impression. Many of those great preachers of days gone by, they would read David Brainerd's diary. They would catch a flame. It would inspire them. It would motivate them. They were inspired by the man's life. It was to be his father-in-law, Jonathan Edwards. He died in his home of tuberculosis that he'd got from being out in the cold regions, giving his life for those Indian, for those heathen. Oh, out there spending himself, being spent for the kingdom of God. Amen. He was committed to something greater than he was. Oh, God, let that be impressed upon us tonight. Amen. On this day of convenience and luxuries, and we want everything just right. And if it ain't just right, we turn our nose up at it. Oh, my God, give us that missionary spirit. God. God. God, help us tonight to get our priorities in order. Let us catch a glimpse of eternal things, of the heavenly things, of things beyond, amen, sight and sound and touch and feel. Look beyond and see. There's a kingdom. Thank God there's a kingdom we're a part of tonight.
David Brainerd made the statement. He said, I long to be a flame of fire, glowing in divine service till my dying hour. Amen. Certainly no less fervent was that great apostle who said, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. Do count them but dung that I may win Christ, be a part of His kingdom. Amen. Have a place in His kingdom for time and for eternity. All else is but waste and refuse. Amen. He went on to say, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This is Christian's top priority. This is the Apostle Paul's top priority. Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind. You could have been somebody. They'd have recognized you. Oh, you'd have had a place in the temple. I mean, one of the most learned men of that day. You'd sit at his feet. You're an educated man. Oh, he said, I count it all but loss. Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, I press toward the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. There's no sacrifice too great. Amen. There's no cost I'm not willing to pay. Amen. I'll be spent and I'll spend for the cause of Christ. That's the way he was. That's a challenge to all of us. Amen. Tonight. I can go on and on here. Amen. But we get what we seek after, don't we? Boom! Got that trophy, man. Oh, yes, sir. Landed the big one. Look at here. Woo, son. 15-pound bass. Look at him. Yes, sir. He's a monster, ain't he? He'll go down in the record book. Praise God. Amen. I know I'm probably exaggerating a little bit. Amen. Got that big 24-pointer. Oh, settle down now there, Pastor. Glory to God. Amen. Try to contain yourself while I preach to you just a little bit. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. We get what we seek after. Man, I got the blue light special. Look at here, honey. All the money I saved. Glory to God. 95% off. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, help me tonight. Amen. Oh, I know we had to go $500 deeper in debt, but amen. Look at all I saved. Amen. Lord, have mercy. We get what we seek after, don't we? So much of the time we hear the call in that far country. We see the bright lights. Maybe not to the extent of the one we call the prodigal son, but have we come to realize, amen, it only leaves you empty and longing for more. He's the only reason I live. But oh, what a reason. Ain't nobody ever done me like Jesus. I said, ain't nobody ever done me like Jesus. Amen. Oh, he's blessed me. He's helped me. He's comforted me. He's been a friend when I felt like nobody cared. Hallelujah. He's been a comforter in time of sorrow. He's been a hope in the midst of my discouragement. Thank God I saw a bright light shining. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, joy cometh in the morning. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Amen. Help us tonight, Holy Ghost. I mean, the Lord told us, you shall seek me and find me
when you search for me with all of your heart. When we get our priorities in order. When we make the main thing, we usually find what we're seeking for. Oh, there may be delays, as Solomon, you know, wrote about. There may be times when it looks like the Lord's playing hide and seek. But there's never been a soul that really sought him with all of their heart, that really got diligent in their search, amen, for Christ and his kingdom. Amen, that could not say, I sought him. Amen. Yeah, there was a time I found him not. But when I got off my bed of ease, when I got up off my seat of do nothing, and I began to seek him diligently, I began to seek him with all of my heart. When I realized, amen, he's my drink. He's my bread. Amen, he's my life. It's in him I live and move and have my being. And I sought him. I said, I got to have him. I must find him. Amen. It wasn't long, amen, until she said, I found him. Amen. I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, and I would not let him go. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Those who make it a top priority, the lateness of the hour is upon us. How much closer is it to midnight? Anybody see the clock where you're at? I mean the spiritual clock. I know it's 9:15 according to that clock. Man, it's still early for a holy roller meeting. Amen. I'm not one for time wasting, man. If y'all through, let's say amen, go to the house, you know. I mean, you know, like some, hey, let's hurry up and get this over with so we can go do what we really want to do. That's not the ones. But too much of the time, I'm afraid that fits us to a T. Amen. And you think we really got our priorities in order? The Christian's top priority. I mean, it's getting so close to midnight. Don't you think we ought to buy some oil while they all slumbered and slept? Is everybody comfortable now? Not too hot, not too cold. If you're too cold, we'll try to find. Here's my coat. Anybody need my coat? We don't want you to get too cold tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. We want everybody comfortable. Amen. While we're at ease in Zion, all of a sudden the midnight hour struck. And all of a sudden I realized, amen, I need to buy some oil. Amen. I need, amen, to get all that God's got for me. We know that oil. I'm not trying to make the Bible say anything. It doesn't say. We know the whole, amen, message Christ was teaching was being ready. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. But the oil is a symbol of the Spirit of God. Amen. Those that are spiritual. Amen. Those that are alive unto God. Those, amen, that have their priorities in order. Amen. That seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness means most of all. Amen. Most important, top priority. Those are the ones, amen, that pay the price of dedication and consecration, and they have their lamps trimmed and burning. Amen. 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 I preach my heart tonight. Would you stand? Hallelujah. 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 I was preaching that 25th chapter about those 10 virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish. I was preaching that in a certain place in the great United States of America on Easter Sunday morning a few years ago. And I got through preaching. I don't usually notice things like this, but I happened to notice the clock that morning. 12 o'clock noon. At 12 o'clock noon, I closed the message and I opened the altar call. And for 15 minutes, I walked back and forth across that stage, that pulpit, and I pled, and just the Lord kept giving me things to throw out, throwing out a lifeline. You need to get your priorities in order. Amen. It's time to seek first the kingdom. It's time to buy some oil, man. It's closer to midnight. Can you see the clock? And I mean, for 15 minutes, nobody moved. There was probably 100 people there. That's a good number for a wholeness meeting. Nobody responded. It's Easter Sunday morning. We're here. We're going to have a big dinner. Let's hurry up and get this over with so we can go do what we really want to do. Little did I know, as a man in that audience closer to midnight than he realized, I called about 2 weeks later, talked to the pastor. He said, man, there's a guy in that service that Sunday morning. He said he should have prayed. We're having his funeral today. A week and a day later, had a massive heart attack. They kept him on a life support. 2 weeks to the day, and he went out into eternity. He went out to meet God. It was closer to midnight. And from all accounts, amen, from the testimony that he left behind, he didn't leave here like the good sister. I preached her funeral. I told you about in this meeting, left here with her hands raised, speaking words of praise and honor and glory unto God. But evidently left a testimony. Amen. It don't sound like he was ready. Don't sound like he had his priorities in order. I mean, when that person that knows anything about God, and we're getting ready to pray here tonight. And I know it takes the Spirit of God to stir our hearts. I've felt Him tonight. I've got beside myself, I'll be honest with you, trying to preach this message. I didn't hardly feel like at times I could contain myself. And I realized that it takes the Spirit of God to touch your heart. Amen. To impress the Word of God, the eternal realities upon our hearts. It takes God to do that. We've got to have His help. We've got to have His grace. Amen. I'm telling you, it's time. Amen. We made the main thing the main thing. I was headed somewhere just a few moments ago. Bear with me, will you? Just a moment. We're getting ready to pray. I was talking about that man. Evidently had his priorities out of order. According to the testimony that he left behind, he didn't have the kingdom of God and his righteousness first and foremost in his life. Amen. This just left me, seemed like. My wife is coming to get us a song, but I was headed somewhere and seemed like I got derailed. But anyway, maybe it'll come back to me here. If it's the Lord's will for me to say it, amen. We need God to help us tonight, church. We need God to touch us tonight. We need to get beyond. Let's hurry up and get it over with so we can go do what we really want to do. Amen. What's most important? I saw that documentary about the Great Azusa Street Revival and the little Catholic boy and his mother, they walked into the Great Azusa Street Revival. And he began to describe what happened after they walked in. And there's no way I could describe it to you tonight, but I believe I've experienced a little touch of it. He said, it felt like all the hair on my flesh was standing on end. Amen. He said, there was a holy hush. He said, I looked around, I could tell everybody else in that building was feeling that same marvelous presence, the invasion of the kingdom of heaven down to earth, driving back the forces of darkness, driving back the drowsiness and the sleepiness and the unconcernedness and the indifference. And he said, there's a black man leading that service, leading that congregation. And he stood up with a shining face. I don't remember what he said. But he began to exhort the people. And all of a sudden, there was a dear sister out in the audience that jumped out in the aisle. And she began to scream, I can see! I can see! I can see! Hallelujah! What was it? Glory to God. The kingdom of heaven come to earth. Praise God. There were some people seeking His kingdom first. They were diligently seeking His kingdom. Glory to God. They were seeking it with all of their hearts. Hallelujah. And heaven invaded the earth. God, do it again. Do it again, God. Do it one more time, God. Arrest the hearts that have got their priorities out of order. Amen. Let them see the Lord one more time. High lifted up. See Him in His glory, in His holiness, in His power. I'm telling you, Brother Johnny, first night of this meeting. We didn't just say, all right, now let's if I come. I'm telling you, I felt a special visitation. Amen. I'd like to see us get out of the routine. I'd like to see us break out of the norm. Amen. Get out into the realms of the Spirit. To step out of the flesh and get in the Spirit. I'd like to see us, amen, get out into those waters that cannot be passed over. That river water to swim in. I'd like to see us, amen. And I made the statement. I told my son after that service Wednesday night, Brother Finley, I said, you know, in an atmosphere like that, you just feel like God can do anything. Hallelujah. It don't matter how we feel, Brother Johnny. He can do anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It don't matter how good I feel. Amen. But you know what it is? It's the presence of the Holy Ghost. It's impressing the reality of God upon us. Shatabahuriaka. God. Shatabahuriaka. Is there anything too hard for God? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Glory. Glory. Worship Him. Worship Him. Obey Him. There's no telling what God can do here tonight. If we'll just turn loose. And let go and let God be God. Hallelujah. 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 Obey God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. I thank God for this star-spangled banner and the kingdom for which it stands, the nation for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge my allegiance to this. Oh, there's another banner tonight. I come to wave. It's representing another kingdom greater than any kingdom this world knows anything about. Oh, it's a kingdom of heaven. It's a kingdom of God Almighty. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Obey God. Hey. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching at the war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Onward, then ye soldiers, onward. Amen. Onward, as to war. One verse of that song says,
just like all other revivals following thereafter up to this present hour. Sister Finley, they have come to those that sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. That was their top priority. I heard today, Seymour was praying 5 hours a day. William Joseph Seymour. That one-eyed, blind in one eye, black man, Negro, that was a recognized leader in that great Azusa Street revival, praying 5 hours a day,
Somebody said the Lord told him, you're not praying enough. He started praying 7 hours a day. Many times he'd spend all night in prayer, and revival came. Yeah, San Francisco earthquake shook about that time. They felt, amen, the tremors in Los Angeles. And I'm telling you more than that, a Holy Ghost revival shook Los Angeles, California. And they felt the tremors across the nation and around the world. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Amen. We've elevated our sight beyond this present world. We're looking up high. Amen. We're looking up to Him that sits high and looks low. Guides my steps wherever I go. Amen. Oh, have your way.
Father, I appreciate